She started to weep again, clinging to me, refusing to let me go, protesting that I'd be going into danger and all the rest of it. I tried to comfort her, and then the baggage opened her mouth on mine and pushed her hand between my thighs, murmuring to me to stay. By gum, it agitated me. I wonder if I had time. No, by God, I daren't. I'd lost precious minutes already. She was stroking away, and my head was swimming with her. But I just put lust second to common sense, for once, and forced her gently away. "You must stay here," says I firmly, "with a strong guard on the palace and on your room itself. Oh, darling, believe me, it is vital. I would not go, but I must. And you must remember that you are a duchess and the protector of your people, and all that. Now, will you trust me and believe me that I do this for the safety of Strakens and my own darling?" These royal wenches are made of stern stuff, of course. Tell them it's for their country's sake, and they become all proudly dutiful and think they're Joan of Arc. I gave her some more patriotism mixed with loving slush, and at last she agreed to do what she was told. I swore I'd be back in an hour or two, and hinted that we'd stay in bed for a week. And at this she flung herself on me again. "Oh, my darling," says she, wriggling against me, "how can I let you go?" "Just for a bit," says I. "And then, but I can't stop now." She was getting me into a fever. "No, I promise I shall take care. I won't get hurt, and if I do, there'll be another chap along shortly. I shall return, my darling." I gave her one last tremendous hug and left her stretching out her arms to me. It was quite touching, really. She loved me, you know, and if I hadn't been in such a damned hurry, I'd have been quite sorry to leave her. Next door, Mistress Helga had restored herself to decency, but from the flush on her cheeks I suspected she'd been listening at the door. I instructed her sternly to look after her mistress and to see that she kept to her room. Then I stepped out into the passage. The sentries were stiff as ramrods. I repeated my orders that no one was to pass either way and set off for the clock tower. It wasn't difficult to find. Up another flight of the main stairs. There were two more sentries at the top, whom I sent to join Irma's guard, and then up a spiral stairway and along a short passage to a wrought iron gateway. Just before the gate there was a little guard room where I found an ensign and two sentries. The men were playing cards, and the ensign was lounging in a chair, but at sight of me they were on their feet in an instant, goggling and fumbling with buttons. I lost no time. "Fanrich," says I, "there has been an attempt at a coup d'etat. The Duchess's life has been threatened." They stared at me aghast. "No time to tell you more," I went on briskly. "The situation is in hand, but I have to leave the palace at once in order to take charge at the scene of the outbreak. You understand? Now then, what's your name?"
"Vessel, please, your highness," he stammered.
"Very good, Fanrich Vessel. Now attend to me. For the safety of the Duchess, I have already mounted a guard on her apartments. You, with your men here, will proceed there at once, and you will take command. You will permit no one, you understand, to pass into our Highness's apartment until I return. Is that clear?"
"Yes, your Highness, but our post here, the crown jewels—"
"There is a jewel infinitely more precious to us all to be guarded," says I, portentously. "Now take your men and go quickly."
"Of course, Highness, on the instant."
He hesitated.
"But pardon, Highness, it is the first order of the palace guard that never shall the jewels be left unwatched. These are explicit instructions."
"Fanrich Vessel," says I, "do you wish to be a lieutenant some day, or would you prefer to be a private? I know the sacred value of the regalia as well as you. But there are times when even jewels are unimportant." I couldn't think of one offhand, but it sounded well. "So off with you. I take full responsibility. Indeed, I'll do better. Give me the keys, and I shall carry them myself." That settled it. He clicked his heels, squeaked at his men, and sent them off at the double. He took the keys from his own belt and passed them to me as though they were red hot. Then he gathered up his sabre and cap and was off, but I called him back. "Vessel," says I in a softer voice, "you're not married?"
"No, Highness."
"But you are perhaps a lover?" He went pink.
"Highness, I—"
"You understand, I think." I frowned and forced a smile together, one of those grimaces of the strong man moved, and laid a hand on his shoulder.
"Take care of her for me, will you?"